Closing time might be the end of bar hours or the end of the concert or the end of, you know, one thing, but the doors open, everyone goes out, and that's like when the story starts, you know. I'm a late night person when we're on tour, you know, so I sort of think of closing time as sort of midday. I guess one thing that I've heard or read is that some of our songs sound like sort of pop encyclopedias or something like that, as though we're like these really clever guys putting all these hints and clues of, you know, the sort of history of rock into our songs, and it's totally not that way. I mean, we think we're coming up with these really great original ideas, and it, you know, there's no ironic quotation mark about anything we do. I think we'd get our ass kicked, but I'd love to try playing with Prince. But we'd totally get our ass kicked. And from what I understand, also, we get, you know, wee hour in the morning calls with him saying, "You missed that guitar entrance on that song, $200. So we'd probably get fined like crazy, but he'd be, I mean, those are the people that I respect. Just every day, there's like a dozen, you know, pictures of somebody in their backyard with their dog that they want us to download and look at. And there's, you know, 50 people wanting, you know, to be the warm-up band. And you know what I mean? It's gone beyond sort of the fanatics asking specific questions about what we do. And it's gotten into that whole thing where everybody's trying to market themselves, and now we're like seen as this sort of big catcher's mitt that they can throw things at, just like, you know, all the other sites on the internet. I think we're a rock band, but we're also kind of puss, so, you know, it's you know, it's a pop band. I think that's because we don't have sort of, you know, we don't look like a hairy rhino coming to, like, you know, hump everybody and then kill them.
When we're making the record, I'm not really thinking that much about, like, okay, what's the single? You know, you don't perform the song thinking, okay, this is the one we've got to make great. We just played it like any other song. And I guess the first time it occurred to me that maybe it was a single was when Bob Clearmountain, the guy who mixed it, was mixing. It was the first song he mixed. He said, "Is this the one? Is this the one that you guys are thinking is the one? Because I think this is the one." I wish I was Stevie Wonder every once in a while. There's like three records of his that I wish that I could have, like, participated in any possible way. Fulfilling This First Finale and Talking Book and Songs in the Key of Life, I think, are all like genius records. The only thing that is like spooky to me is the idea of like just absolute freedom of the airwaves, where people can just take music and just have it, because I think that does a disservice to the artists, because people make their living off of making music, and ideas should be free, but there's also got to be some way. I mean, somehow people are going to have to figure out how to, like, make music not like shareware that you don't pay for.
I think sometimes, you know, when you tell a story, for instance, the first time you tell a story is often the best. Then the next time when you come back and you think, "Boy, I really told that story great. I think I'll try it again." And you tell it again, but it's never as good. And it's the same with songs. The first time you sort of put a song onto tape, it's very fresh, and all the ideas are they sound fresh. And that's what, unfortunately, demos turn out to be most of the time. But so we decided we would skip demos and try and get that on the actual tape for the record. I was really tormented in high school by all the Rush fans and all the Kansas fans, and even by like all the Led Zeppelin fans who all said, you know, disco sucks and blah, blah, blah. And I kind of like instead listened to like Parliament and, you know, the Spinners, James Brown, Bobby Womack, Rufus, you know, all that kind of stuff.